anything. They are media savvy. They've attracted huge headlines by painting evangelicals as naive fundamentalists who uncritically buy into the biblical account of the empty tomb. Using colored beads in a ballot vote, they reject the authenticity of statements attributed to Christ by the gospel writers. In their view, red beads, black beads, and pink beads mean yes, no, and maybe so, respectively. As an intermediate category, they use gray beads to designate words that did not originate with Jesus, though they may reflect his ideas. In their view, fewer than 20% of Christ's sayings are credible. Jesus' seminar participants clearly loathe the Gospel of John and love the Gospel of Thomas. This despite the fact that Thomas includes such patently ignorant and politically incorrect passages as the following conversation between Peter and Jesus. Simon Peter said to them, "Make Mary leave us, for females don't deserve life." Jesus said, "Look, I will guide her to make her male, so that she too may become a living spirit resembling you males. For every female who makes herself male will enter the domain of heaven." The Christian Research Journal notes that when the Jesus Seminar released their color-coded scholar's version of the five Gospels in 1993, the second century Gospel of Thomas was thrust into prime time. For all intents and purposes, the Jesus Seminar has canonized this gospel, known primarily from a Coptic translation found in Egypt at Nag Hammadi in late 1945. In fact, it is quite clear that the scholars of the seminar consider the Gospel of Thomas far more reliable and important than the Gospel of John, and probably more than Matthew and Luke's Gospels as well, as far as being useful in reconstructing the words of the historical Jesus. Even a cursory reading of the Gospel of Thomas should suffice to see how deeply it has been influenced by second-century Gnostic concepts that came in vogue long after the New Testament period. Yet, the Jesus Seminar speculates that the Gospel of Thomas is earlier and more authentic than the biblical accounts. Christian philosopher and theologian William Lane Craig lamented, "It is sobering to think that it is this sort of idiosyncratic speculation that thousands of lay readers of magazines like Time have come to believe represents the best of contemporary New Testament scholarship." As the reliability of the resurrection is undermined in the media, it is crucial that Christians are prepared to demonstrate that Jesus was buried and that on Easter morning some 2,000 years ago, the tomb was indeed empty. Contrary to Crossan, the late liberal scholar John A.T. Robinson of Cambridge conceded that the burial of Christ is one of the earliest and best attested facts about Jesus. This statement is not merely a dogmatic assertion, but rather stands firmly upon sound argumentation.
The fictional Pharisee fallacy.
Liberal and conservative New Testament scholars alike agree that the body of Jesus was buried in the private tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Craig underscores this fact by noting that, as a member of the Jewish court that condemned Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea is unlikely to be Christian fiction. The noted New Testament scholar Raymond Brown explains that Joseph's being responsible for burying Jesus is very probable, since a Christian fictional creation of a Jewish Sanhedrist doing what is right for Jesus is almost inexplicable, given the hostility towards Jewish leaders responsible for Jesus' death in early Christian writings. In particular, Mark would not have invented Joseph in view of his statements that the whole Sanhedrin voted for Jesus' condemnation. Furthermore, no competing burial story exists.